This is 8 Minutes of Awesome. I'm Jennifer Lipsky. By caring for the earth and the sacred connection we have with her and with each other, we also heal and nurture ourselves. Speaking with me right now is Shara Orman, who is so passionate about how we all fit together in this way on our planet. Hi, Shara.
Hi, Jennifer. Nice to be with you today.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for taking the time to be with us. And I would love to hear about the work you do. And I love the name of your business and your website. Can you tell us about it?
Sure. I am building an endeavor called Mutual Flourishing for Self and Earth. And I have a lot of interests and passions related to human wellness and ecological wellness. But one of my biggest interests is to help people to think about how the ways that we care for ourselves really need to be connected to our care for the earth and vice versa. I mentioned to you earlier when we were talking that we have this really flourishing self-help movement, particularly in the Western world and certainly in North America. And we have a sometimes flourishing environmental movement, but the two have not worked together very much. The self-help movement does not talk very much about the earth and ecological well-being. And the environmental movement talks about human wellness in a kind of fear-based way. And I think, both of those movements have made tremendous, tremendous contributions. I'm originally trained as a historian, so I really like to think in the long term. But I'm really passionate about helping people to see that our self-help movement is really only meaningful if we're taking care of the earth. And our ecological movement could be a lot more vibrant and a lot more effective if we more fully believed and grasped and lived into the fact that we're completely dependent on the earth for our survival, on water and air and clean food. Now we're even finding through the work of some of the scientists at HeartMath and people who've investigated earthing that it looks like our body's energetic balance is actually also dependent on having contact with the earth.
Yes.
So I really want to work to nurture this connection and to help people think in a more personal way about renewing the human relationship to the earth and restoring the planet in a relational way. I have so much respect for the environmental movement and, participate in it and really idolize some of the major leaders. But I really think we can do a lot better with restoring ecological stability, ecological flourishing, when that's connected to our sense of our own flourishing.
Yeah, absolutely. What I'm hearing is, one cannot exist without the other. We have to really weave everything together, not only ourselves, but our relationship with the earth, to be able to grow and to flourish, in our humanness, but also to keep our planet healthy, for future generations and so much more.
I think
So.
it really brings up a new examination of what the good life is, because so many of us in developed countries right now feel like we have the good life. What I'm noticing is our air is really polluted, and in the metro area where I live, a lot of children are using asthma inhalers, and we know the water's not clean, and climate change is upon us. And so I really would love for people to rethink what the good life is in regard to this connection between humanity and the planet.
I love how you said that. Rethinking the good life. That is brilliant and so true. Really, really good. And you started touching on about the kind of things that you've experienced in your own life, about the water and the asthma and everything. So why is it that you do what you do? I imagine that part of it has to do with that. Talk a little bit more about that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm trying to think of how to talk about that succinctly. I guess I'm really motivated by love and by fear, and by hope. I grew up in the Colorado Mountains with a lot of exposure to the outdoors, and have always felt very connected, certainly to animals, but particularly to the plant world. And I just kind of unavoidably have a really deep love for the natural world. Like many people, I'm aware of how threatened it is. I think I'm much more acutely aware than a lot of people. And so I have personally struggled with a lot of fear about what's going on environmentally and the effects of that on human well-being. So those are some of my foundational experiences, living in a metro area with pretty bad air pollution and having asthma for the first time in my life and raising children and wondering if my water filter is even close to enough. Raising children on days when we get these air quality alerts and technically we're not supposed to play outside, and really just feeling the pain of having to explain that to a 6 or a 10-year-old has been very motivating for me. And on a more positive note, I see so much beautiful change. I follow the transition movement and the work of Rob Hopkins and the work of Ananda Shiva and the 350.org movement and permaculture. And when I follow this beautiful environmental work that's being done, and I see that a lot of the so-called self-help or personal development teachers are not integrated very much with that, I think there's a tremendous gulf that needs to be filled there.
And
It's my contribution.
no, that's beautiful. And I know the work you do with Mutual Flourishing is of great value. And in concert with that, you are also an amazing writer, and you really write some compelling pieces, and they're very inspired. So from where do you draw your inspiration for both Mutual Flourishing and for all the other work you do?
Thank you. Well, from my own connection with the outdoors, certainly. I'm a gardener and I'm really blessed to have plants around my home. So I definitely draw inspiration from that source. Also, I guess from my scholarly background as a historian, although I'm not really actively working as a historian, I have a sense of the kind of ups and downs of human culture and how progressive and beautiful things can happen. So I guess that's a source of inspiration for me. And I'm very inspired by some of our past spiritual teachers who have really cherished the created world. I think of Saint Basil of Caesarea and Julian of Norwich from the Middle Ages, which is my original scholarly home. And a lot of modern spiritual teachers from this so-called self-help movement, people like Wayne Dyer and Louise Hay, who have really, I guess, helped me to believe more optimistically in what some people are calling conscious evolution. And I've also been very, very influenced by the work of Thomas Berry, who was a Catholic scholar and historian who developed this concept of the great work. And as a historian, he pointed out that many cultures in the past have had a great work, something enormous that that culture needed to achieve. So obviously for the so-called greatest generation, my grandparents' generation, it was dealing with the threat of Nazism and doing something about Hitler. Other cultures have invented agriculture or developed economic systems or systems of writing. So Barry looked at where we are in our human story on the planet and looked at the state of the planet and said, the great work for everyone alive today and in the foreseeable future is to repair our relationship with the planet and to move into what he termed the ecozoic era, the era of planet Earth in which we are nurturing and tending the planet and living in reciprocity with the planet and the planet's systems, really at every level, spiritually and intellectually and physically. So Thomas Berry has really been a guide for me. I think his work holds just kind of endless potential for our time. I've also been very influenced by the beautiful, beautiful poetry and agrarian essays of Wendell Berry, and certainly by activists. I mentioned Vandana Shiva. People like Jane Goodall, I think, are making the connections between the human and the earth. And I'm also really inspired by the scholar activist model. I've kind of struggled between these two callings that I felt to an intellectual life or to a more service-oriented life. But there are people who have really beautifully merged both of those aspects. And I think of people like Mary Evelyn Tucker, who is Thomas Berry's kind of preeminent student and really is carrying on his work beautifully, of some wonderful women physicians who are making beautiful connections in the areas of health and well-being, like Lissa Rankin and Christiane Northrup and Sarah Gottfried, and certainly by people like Rob Hopkins, the founder of the Transition Movement, mm-hmm. who is doing such deep and globally powerful work to look at the relationship of people to one another in communities, and then the relationship of those communities to whatever ecological situation they're in.
Yeah, you know, everything that you're saying is so strong and so powerful, and the sources of inspiration are amazing. And it sounds like with the work that you're doing with Mutual Flourishing that you are successfully merging that as well and bringing forward this really powerful, powerful way for people to access it. So I'd like to know, what is the message right now that you would like others to hear?
It's that our own flourishing and well-being can best be served by connecting to the planet and its natural systems, and that if we're primarily concerned, you know, on the other hand, away from the sort of personal flourishing, if we're primarily concerned about the well-being of the planet, we need to make more connections to between it and human well-being. And I would add to that that I think that our personal, our individual, our human species flourishing and the flourishing of the planet really lie in learning to listen again to the wisdom of the body, the wisdom of the physical world. So many cultures that have lived much more lightly on the planet have really been connected to the wisdom of the body, of you know, whatever messages your body gives you, for example, that clean and healthy food and water feel much better than the opposite, that breathing clean air feels really good, so maybe you should nourish that, you know, that being in an outdoor environment that's healthy and functioning maximally feels really wonderful. So I think that really the bedrock of this work is listening to our own body's wisdom about that, and to the wisdom of the earth, however we choose to do that, whether it's listening to bird song or, you know, walking outdoors or, you know, whatever natural environment is meaningful to people, I think carries a lot of wisdom and guidance for us as we learn to listen to that again.
Yeah, that is a strong and clear message and really beautiful. And I thank you so much for bringing it forward. And for those that are watching, if you'd like to contact Shara directly, you can do so through her website, mutualflourishing.org. Shara Arman, thank you so much for spending this time with me.
Thank you, Jennifer. I really appreciate your project. It's so important to bring attention to optimistic and heart-centered viewpoints and to share them around the world. So thank you for doing that.
Oh, thank you. And thanks again for being a part of it.
My pleasure.
Just test this. Oh, hi, Pop.
Today.
What's your pop's name?
Stella.
Stella. Oh, Stella. Oh, she's beautiful. Oh, I love her.